Welcome, everybody. This is Elaine, and it is the Tuesday afternoon, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, October 25th, group for the Parent Success System. And if you are tuning into this, listening, and expecting to hear Jeremy, and you're hearing Elaine's voice, that's because I'm substituting for her today. So, and I'm really excited to get to know a new group of folk, and we are going to talk today about activating the brain. Which is a term that Diane and I sort of coined when we felt like there was so much conversation plus and minus about medication, and we felt like it was sort of missing the bigger picture. So let's start with doing a little check-in, see how people are doing, and then we'll go from there. Who wants to get us started on check-ins? Or celebrations. I know Jeremy does celebrations a lot.
This is
so Jessica, you want to get us started?
Sure. So my check-in would be that I am excited that it's about activating the brain this week because I think my brain needs to be activated. I've been feeling a little bit overwhelmed with sort of my own personal work. I do consulting, picking up at the same time as the needs of my daughter in school are also picking up, and trying to manage all those things and keep myself on track and keep her on track. So I feel like we've got our head above water, but just kind of treading at the moment.
Yeah, I hear you, and I want to say that I feel like it's a place so many of us are at right now. Just feeling like we're treading water. That is part of that is societal. Part of that is what's happening in the larger, you know, culture. There's a lot of that. Everybody's sort of in a holding pattern. So I hear you loud and clear. And do you have a sense of what you want to take aim on today, or do you want to wait and come back?
I think what I want to take aim on is connecting more with my daughter in her less desirable moments. I think I go full neurotypical response on her, and I tell myself I'm not going to, and then I do, and I just sort of she starts, you know, a shutdown, which isn't always explosive, and that's part of the problem. She truly just shuts down.
Right.
And then I see it later, or I recognize it later, or realize it later. And so in those moments where I don't really want to go to her and touch her or hold her, or just I want to activate my brain or activate myself to truly try that consistently.
Okay. Great.
So that's where I'm at.
So the place is to be able to connect with her when she is tuning out and shutting down.
Yes.
Awesome. And tell me how old she is.
She's 8.
Okay.
8
Great.
And a half.
Cool. Thank you. Who else?
Go ahead, Kat.
This is Catherine. And Tyler managed to do his packet for 2 weeks in a row. We work a little bit on the weekend, and he was able to get most of the rest done in Kids Club on Monday. So it wasn't hanging over his head the rest of the week.
Brilliant. That is a lovely success.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. And do you two have a sense of what you want to take aim on today? Or is it the same thing?
I don't know. Sort of, we should pick something. I think we're mainly picking...
We can come back to you. You don't have to do it now. Thanks. Give you a couple minutes to think about it.
All right.
Cool. What about Ileana and Bodhi?
I'll
your check-in or your celebration?
Sure. I'll talk for Bodhi and I. My check-in is I feel like I was doing really well on helping my son with his emotional responses by just ignoring his behaviors and focusing on his empathy and getting him back down to green. And that was working really well. And it was working so well that probably over the last 4 days I forgot that I should be managing him still like that. And I went back to my old ways, and it was really not good. And I learned something in that I realized that my response to him takes him days to get over. That it's so, if I'm at red, it takes him so long to get over that he was, you know, still upset last night about something that happened on Saturday. And that wasn't happening when I was always in green. And I could just, and I felt like our relationship had just was so much better because we were able to be in green. But then I forgot that he has a hard time, and then I started being really hard on him again. So anyhow, so my taking aim is go back to the basics again, which can be really hard to do. So
yeah. So back to the basics, be more specific for yourself.
So I need to be back at ignoring his outbursts when he gets upset and just focus on getting him down to green, and that when he gets down to green, that's kind of it, and I don't get mad at him about how mean or rude he was.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, that's the strategy that you're using and the place to take aim or the change you want to see, it sounds like, is sort of self-managing yourself when he gets upset.
That's right.
Awesome. Okay. So, and I just, you know, sometimes I like to point out the distinction between the vision or the goal and the strategy. The strategy
is
the process you're using with red and green, and, you know, ignoring his behavior is a strategy. What you're trying to achieve is to stay calm in the midst of chaos, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Brilliant. And I just want to acknowledge, I love that what you learned from that, you know, a great opportunity to fail forward, right, was it was really working, and then it wasn't. And in that moment, in that process, what you learned not only was what was working, what worked about it, but also that your response really impacts him.
Yeah, and that I forget.
And how powerful that is.
Right, and then that it's easy to forget when you realize everything's working great. You're like, okay, this child, quote unquote, you know, like my daughter, can handle her emotions, and then I forget. Anyhow.
Yeah. It takes time. Yeah, and it takes a lot of muscle practice with these kids. It's funny because my youngest child is now 15, and we were laughing about it at the dinner table last night about what he was like when he was 9. Because the joke was, you know, when he was 9, I would have been very happy to sell him or something, give him away. You know, and now he's probably one of the most well-managed from an emotional and impulsivity perspective of any kid his age I know. Because he learned. He had to learn. And so he learned a whole lot more than his peers. And I hear that from teachers all the time. So that's what I would offer is as he learns it, once he really gets it, he's learning a life skill that most kids never really consciously learn. So, cool. Any other check-ins?
It's Valerie. I'm going to celebrate today.
Awesome.
I have 2 boys, 10 and 12. My 10-year-old got added to the wall of leaders last week at school, and part of what drove that was that the teacher, when she would ask him to correct something or to kind of redirect him, he quit complaining about it consistently. And so he was very excited. He feels a big boost. That gives us a boost. So I'm celebrating with that.
Awesome.
My take aim is with my 12-year-old and learning how or helping him understand the importance of a filter for his mouth. Not just from, for example, I already got an email from a teacher today that said he was talking to one of his friends and said, screw you. And at 12, he doesn't understand what that even means. So trying to teach him that if you don't understand, you can't say, as well as not everything has to be an argument or a debate as well.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. So I will throw a little strategy for you just as a bonus. I definitely want to focus on it and see what comes up today. But there's an article on the site about, I think it's called Coffee Filter Wisdom or something.
Okay.
It's really, and I got it from one of our clients, a dad who gave his kid a coffee filter and talked to him about the impact of his words and filtering before you speak. And it was really pretty cool. So
awesome.
Interesting. Great. Thank you. I think Sarah, and there's before, actually, Sarah, is that you from Huntington? No,
so
somebody else.
I'm not sure.
Is there somebody here from Huntington Beach, California?
Yes. That's David and Catherine. We redialed
okay.
in. We had a problem with the phone. It kept hanging
Got
up.
It. Yeah, because I was guessing that was you, but I needed to make sure I didn't have any lurkers on the line. Okay, Sarah, how about you? And then we'll come back to David and Catherine.
Sure. And I'm sorry. I'm going to apologize in advance because I'm very new and getting started in all this. And so I have multiple steps that I have not done.
That is okay.
The first time I'm going to attend the call, and I've just so I'm hearing a couple things, and I can tell you a little bit that in terms of what I'm hoping to take aim with. But I don't
brilliant.
Think I'm
Thank
prepared
you for sharing
as everybody
that you're new to the call. That helps a lot. So in this first part, what I want you to look at is sort of to share either a quick update with us about what's going on for you, or a celebration about something that's happened in the last week or two. So start with that. Just
okay.
Bottom line,
so,
short and sweet, but what's going on?
Yeah. So I would say the thing that I am taking aim at, or I'd like to determine what the best strategy for me is my son is 10, will be 10 in a couple of weeks, but so he's 9. And one of the things that I still struggle with is when he does get really upset is my reaction to what I feel is really disrespectful behavior when he has a displeasure with whatever the result of our decision is, right? So, what's that?
No, I'm understanding. I think I missed something. Go ahead.
So just understanding what – because it's a red button for me, but it just, like, when you're disrespectful to me, my knee-jerk reaction is to want to say you can't say those things, you can't talk to people that way, you know, it's very disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. But I've been refraining from doing that. I think the thing that I'm not quite sure is if I need to do something on the other side to say when there's not the emotion in the situation to say, you know, I understand that you're angry, but you treating me and or others that way is not okay. So that's what I am struggling with at the moment. I don't know if that helps
okay.
or not. No.
So what I hear is that you're celebrating that you're beginning to shift this, and you're not reacting as much.
Yes.
And where I think I hear you wanting to take aim is so if you're not reacting to it, then what do you do when he's behaving in this way? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, awesome. So how to handle it when his behavior is, quote, disrespectful.
Correct.
Awesome. We can do that. And David and Catherine, let me circle back to you on taking aim, and then we can move into today's topic.
Okay. We're going to see if we can tackle trying to get him to do his daily chores without being reminded. Every day for the last couple of years, he's had to feed the dog, and in the last couple months, we've had him feed the fish, and he has turtles now, so he's supposed to feed them, and I'm just afraid they're going to die, so I want him to be able to do it without reminding him.
How old is he?
He is almost 11.
Okay, and developmentally, where would you say he is? 11 going on what?
In some respects, 25 in his swearing language. But
in terms of sort of self-management and taking care of his responsibilities, where would you say 11 going on what?
Let's say -4, 10, 9, 7.
Okay. So, and I'm not voting here. I just want you to ask yourselves: do you think it's a reasonable expectation for a 7-year-old to remember to feed the animals without reminders?
Well, he's going to get a reminder. We're making a chart, and I ordered some Happy Pace stickers he gets to put on after he does it. So.
Okay, so what you said was you wanted him to do his chores without being reminded, and it sounds like what you want is a structure to help him remember to do his chores.
Well, that's more accurate, yeah. I just don't want to have to remind
okay.
him. That's the problem.
Okay, but and the reason I'm pushing a little bit, I'm asking, is because I want you to make sure that when you're taking aim on something that's a reasonable expectation. Right?
Okay.
Is it reasonable to expect that you're not going to have to remind, you know, 11-year-old who's 11 going on 7 to feed the animals or to be part of that process?
Right. Okay. Well, we're trying to put the structure in place, and we'll have a backup
Brilliant.
Emergency net. So
Great.
I think it's reasonable to expect at least 50%
compliance
to start with.
Awesome.
Reasonable. Quickly. We'll see.
Awesome. Now, so I love the way that you're shifting that. It's like we want him to hit 50%, right? That's moving him towards success. And you can
yes.
reward that, which will build on the success. But we want to set a reasonable expectation for him, not something that's unattainable that then he's going to feel defeated when he doesn't hit it.
Okay.
Right?
That makes
okay.
sense. Yeah.
Great. Cool. Okay, so let me shift a little bit into the conversation for today is about activating the brain. And, you know, I sort of mentioned at the beginning, this is one of those topics that, you know, the biggest issue that comes up all the time around kids and ADHD and executive function and all of these sort of related issues that we're struggling with these kids is this issue, you know, it's always, well, are they on medication or are they not? And when we first started, Diana and I were hearing this question all the time and you know, actually came from different perspectives around medication, about, you know, whether we thought it was such a fabulous thing or not, and different, you know, there's this sense that medication is supposed to fix everything. And what was really clear to us as we started working with families was that it wasn't about medication. It was about understanding the importance of engaging the brain in whatever we're doing, of understanding where the brain is and the role that the brain is playing in this complex kid or these complex kids that we're raising. And so whether the kid was using medication or not, you still needed to get them managed and teach them how to manage themselves. And whether the child was taking medication or not, they still needed to engage and activate that brain. And there are a lot of ways that we can do that with our kids. Some parents do it through nutrition, some through exercise. When we're lucky, we can do it with good sleep. Part of our challenge is a lot of our kids struggle with sleep, so the one thing that could really help actually makes it harder. You know, keeping them hydrated can make a difference in terms of activating and engaging the brain. Reducing stress, making sure they have downtime and playtime. All of these things are pieces that contribute to an activated or an engaged brain. Sometimes I like to think about it as sort of the well-oiled machine. Our kids, the synapses don't connect and fire and receive as well as they could. And when we're activating the brain, we're doing the most that we can to empower them, their brains, to operate at the highest function as possible, whatever that is for them. And when they're really challenged with executive function, when they really struggle with memory or effort or focus, when they have a hard time getting started on things, when they get stressed out, it can make it really hard for them when we don't understand the role that the brain plays in it. So that's why we look at it in terms of activating the brain, of which, so that medication is a piece of that, but it is not the only piece of that. And there's a lot more research starting to come out now about the role of exercise in ADHD, for example. There's a book that came out last year by John Rady that's all about adults and ADD and exercise. We now know there's a huge connection between nutrition and attention and focus and self-regulation and self-management. When my kids were younger, the biggest issue that we finally figured out, the biggest obstacle to really keeping them calm, was to make sure they were fed. So for them, it wasn't as much about medication, but if they got if they started getting hungry, they got hangry. And they couldn't manage it. And there were times we finally had a code word in our house that was the kids made up. It was broccoli ice cream. That when you recognize, when I recognized when the kids was losing it, we would stop. Everything stopped. No more conversation and no nothing until this kid gets some protein. Protein is another thing that can be really a big help. And it became really clear to everyone. It was really easy for everybody to buy in because it made such a difference. You know, a couple of bites of food and a couple of minutes later and you had a completely different kid on your hands. And so activating the brain is not just are we giving the brain chemistry, the synapses, the medication it needs, but it's broader than that. It's about exercise and nutrition and sleep and rest and making sure that the child gets a break after school before they start their homework. There's a lot of research on the value of taking breaks before taking tests and things at school and how much better kids perform when they've been active and moving. So I'm going to stop there and just sort of see what comes up for people. What are you thinking about? What are you noticing? What questions come up as we shift this conversation from medication to a larger conversation about the importance of activating the brain? What are you thinking? What are you noticing?
I'll chime in. I've noticed that Tyler really does have that problem if he gets hungry. It's all bad, but he's on a stimulant. It's actually a Avikio, and I think it pretty much turns his appetite off. So, and he's a little obstinate. So when you ask him to eat, he says no, and then it sort of spirals. So I don't know how to get him to do that, but we've noticed that.
Does he recognize that when he's hungry, the relationship between the tantrums and the food?
Hard to say.
Yeah, maybe. I think after the fact. So we need to figure out maybe some way to help him understand afterwards, after he's calmed down, whatever that means. And then take a look at it. But he's not big on retrospectively looking at things.
Well, you know, one of the observations I'll make, and this is, you know, just sort of a tip for everyone all the time, and it just gets more and more the older they get, is that we have this tendency to give our kids a lot of information and to want to try to explain it to them and make sure they understand it. And they tend to receive information more in dropperfuls. So if you just sort of throw it out after an upset, it's like, wow, I noticed, man, you calmed down so much after you got food. Drop it. Don't say another word about it. Mention it again another day or two in another context. Let them sort of piece together the dots instead of always having to draw the dots for them.
Okay, I like that.
Because once you begin to sort of raise his awareness to it, then you can come back. Maybe it's a week or two down the road, but then you can come back and say, you know, I've really noticed that, you know, whenever you tend to get upset in the afternoon, it's when you haven't had a snack after school. Can we just talk about maybe adding a snack to the routine and just see what that will do for you? Right, then you're getting his buy-in, you're getting his participation, you're asking his permission. You're not telling him, you've got to eat some food because I can't handle your behavior, right?
Yeah,
you're offering a
work.
Solution for him. Go ahead.
That does not work,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
No, never works, right? So so I just sort of throw that out there for you, not as a solution, but to say that, you know, part of our job here in activating the brain is to raise their awareness to what's going on for them and to help them see and help them tell you what works for them and what doesn't. Right? And vice versa.
Very good.
Yeah. Thank you. So what else are you noticing about activating the brain? Is this something, is a new concept to some of you? Is it something you feel like you've been working with?
This is Ileana. You know, I feel this is makes sense, and I see it, and my son is even very cognizant that dancing makes him calm down. Even some of his neighbor friends will notice that, too, like, oh, he needs to dance because he needs to calm down. So it definitely helps, and he's aware of it.
That's great. Anybody else? Have you tried this before? Has anybody tried different kinds of activating the brain?
This is Sarah.
This is Valerie.
I feel like, go ahead, Valerie.
So Sarah and then Valerie.
Nope.
I was just going to say, you know, I don't think I have directly noticed. I've definitely been aware of the linkage between either physical activity and calming down, or, you know, just a regulation. And I haven't noticed or observed a specific activity or food item, or I don't have a strong connection or linkage between those two with my son. I've looked for it, but, and I don't know, potentially I'm missing it, but there isn't and we're pretty particular about what we eat anyway, so I just know he loves to eat carbohydrates and we keep him from that, but I don't notice a change in his ability to regulate based on activity and or food, but I'm always looking.
Yeah, and I don't know that I mean specific food as much as I mean, you know, if they're hungry, is that a trigger for them?
Yeah,
right?
It's not a trigger for him. Not that I can see, anyway.
Right. Do you have a sense of what is?
Transitions are a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
And starting something he's not interested in doing. So.
Yeah, so initiating. Stopping and starting. Yeah.
Yes.
And so when you want to take aim on something like that, and, you know, when we look at the model, one of the things we look at is once you figure out what the changes you want to see, then it's what are the different cornerstones, the critical response areas. And one of them is activating the brain. And so what some person may look at and say, I need to make sure that I've got his attention, that you know, there are things that you need to do before you make a transition, so that his brain can pay attention to it. And other people may say, well, it's not an activating the brain issue, it's something else. And so
mm-hmm.
part of using the model is asking yourself, in any change you're trying to see, is there a role that activating the brain plays here? And it may
mm-hmm.
or it may not, or it may be that you've already done everything you can about that and it's time to move on to another area of the model. Does that make sense?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And Valerie, what about you?
So there's several things there that we've done or tried. Certainly food is an issue. And, again, our boys tend to like carbs as well. And so making sure, especially in the morning, that they get some protein before they go to school makes a huge difference in how they perform. And not just a little bit of protein, but adequate amounts of protein. We also struggle with transitions with both of them. Homework has been a struggle, not because they can't do it, but because they don't want to sit down and do it. So we've done some things there, and one of them is just as easy as my youngest now sits on an exercise ball when he does his
mm-hmm.
homework, and now he no longer complains about sitting down to do his homework. It still takes him longer than it should, but he does it without complaining, so a victory there.
That's a huge victory. Really huge. Well, and what I love about that is I was going to say, when you said sit down, was like sitting down important? And part of what you figured out, excuse me, <y'all, coughs> is that his brain needed to be activated. He needed to move in order to concentrate
right.
at that time of the day. So actually sitting down was working against you. And so,
yep, that's right.
Movement is another part of activation. I keep a chin-up bar, a pull-up bar, in my family room area, my kitchen area. So sometimes when the kids are struggling and they've got homework and they know they've got hard stuff to start, they'll go do some pull-ups or some chin-ups or something just to get themselves going, to get their brain going. Sorry, I just swallowed wrong and I'm choking. Anybody else? Any other thoughts on questions about... curiosities about activating the brain?
This is
now,
Jessica.
Why don't we do a little... Go ahead.
I was just going to say sort of, I guess I keep trying different things to see if there's something that's going to make a difference with my daughter and so far I haven't really come across anything. So I find myself... feeling at a loss with, like, okay, so, you know, for example, she, when she starts her homework, she wants to do her math. She wants 12 different colored markers. She says it helps her. So I'd say, okay, you know, and then I look and she's still gotten them all wrong. Again, to not because she doesn't know how to do that math, but because it's not keeping her attention enough. She's looking away. She's still forgetting that she did one section already, or she looks at the other problem and adds it to the first problem. And so I want to support that she thinks that these colored markers help her, but I don't think they actually are helping her. But I haven't found an alternative or a way to get her around to that something else might help more.
Okay. So when she's – so this is homework when you get home from school, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what time does she get home from school?
3:30.
Okay. And what time does she leave in the morning?
8 o'clock.
Okay. Good long day for a little girl. And when she comes home, does she have a snack? Does she have a break? Like, what happens in the afternoon?
So she usually has a snack, but I think, you know, as people have been talking, I've been thinking about, you know, she is on Adderall, and I do think that her appetite is somewhat suppressed. So sometimes I think she might start to eat something, but then actually not finish it.
Okay.
So, you know, she maybe not be getting the actual snack she needs.
Right. Okay. So there may be a piece there.
There may be a
what
piece
else?
There. And then, you know, and she doesn't always, it depends, like, yesterday, for example, she has a drama class after school, so she doesn't get home till 5. And I was going to give her a chance to take, but she opened up her homework and spread it out, so I thought, okay, let me just roll with this. But it was, you know, 7 math problems because they already don't make her do all the math, and it took forever, and she still got, like, half of them wrong.
Right. Okay. So this is a great scenario. Can we sort of play with this a little bit?
Sure.
Okay, because it's a great example of – so if the place you were taking aim here – and I know this isn't where you took aim earlier – but if the place you were taking aim here was to help her get her homework done more efficiently, right? And how many of us would not like our kids to get their homework done more efficiently? Right? So if that's the place you were looking at, is how do we help her do it in a manner that's reasonably timed? And you look, then you sort of collect information, what's going on. We know she's had a long day. She's still got some medication on board, which is good, but that may mean she's may be hungry by this point, which may not be so good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has she had a chance to get up and physically move or play or had a, have a sort of mental break and a physical break? It's another place to look. Because even that now, so if she had acting class and she didn't get home till 5 o'clock, she had that sort of physical break. Even though she was in a structured activity, we know she was probably moving or doing improv or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we probably had that. So you just sort of collect a little information about what do we know is happening in that dynamic. That's sort of phase two. And then you can look to the activating the brain and say, okay, what's working, what's not. So I think you've already identified she may not have the mental, the food support on board that she could use,
mm-hmm.
right? And so instead of popcorn, we may decide, okay, we know she needs a snack, but she's not going to eat much. So maybe the snack, maybe can we increase the bang for the buck in the snack, right?
Yep.
So what does she usually have for a snack?
She'll have, sometimes it's she hasn't finished something that she brought home from school, like whether that's the fruit that she brought with her or it's like, goldfish or fig Newtons, something like that.
Okay. So none of which are really particularly nutritionally.
Correct.
They don't have a lot of nutritional oomph, right?
Right.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, is there a snack she likes that's got a good protein hit in it?
Not one I can think of.
Okay. So she's not a peanut butter kid or a peanuts or...
She'll do peanut butter. She'll do peanut butter with her apple sometimes.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like she likes to finish the treat from that's left over from lunch.
Yep.
Do you think she would be open to sort of a, you can have that and as long as you eat this first or with this or, you know, beginning to raise that awareness to the value that the protein or a little extra nutrition can bring?
Yeah, she'd be all right with that.
Okay. And what I will tell you all about nutrition in particular is that if you start talking to them at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, not you have to eat your vegetables, but just the value of have you had your protein? Like somebody was saying earlier, you have a good, really strong protein breakfast, right? Instead of have you had your breakfast this morning, if it's have you had some protein, like beginning to raise their awareness to the role that protein plays for them, as they become teenagers, they'll start seeking it out. It's really very cool. So there's a place. What about water? Is she drinking water during the day? Does she drink water after school?
Yep, she drinks water.
Awesome. Okay. So keeping that's probably a good place, not a place to focus. What other areas of activating the brain could you consider to support this?
I don't know what else. I mean, she's so distractible that if she says, I want to do my spelling words and cartwheel them, the next thing I know, she's off in the other room cartwheeling, like she's forgotten
mm-hmm.
that we're doing spelling.
Mm-hmm. I love the cartwheeling spelling. That's brilliant. Right?
And yeah. So
what? What were you going
to
say?
No, just so, you know, trying to keep her active and listen to what she believes helps her. I mean, she will say sometimes, no, I want to cartwheel my words. And I'll say, okay. And for two words, you know, she'll stay with me. And then she just completely gets lost in cartwheels. And
so what expectation could you set before the cartwheels to help bring her back when she get so that she's not getting lost in cartwheels?
That as long as she's spelling the words, she can keep cartwheeling.
Okay. Or so I'm with you. What's a sort of positive way to phrase that for her that's empowering and encouraging her?
For every spelling word that you make a full attempt on, you can keep cartwheeling. I don't know.
Okay. So I think I would probably start by saying cartwheels is a great idea. Right? So validate, it's so great that you know what you need to help yourself focus. And then you can always say, I notice that sometimes when you start cartwheeling, you get lost. So what do you think you need to do to make sure we keep doing cartwheels in the words, right? So if you acknowledge her and her success in it, then you can ask her to help you set a guideline for her instead of setting it for her. Does that distinction make a difference for you?
It does. But I mean, I feel like her right now. Like, I feel like I'm shutting down because I'm saying it's not going to work. I know, that's what I'm saying in my head right now. And I'm like, no,
I love
I'm not
that.
Work with her. I'm shutting down. I'm like,
that.
Nope.
Yep. So you can not only acknowledge her, then you can have some compassion for what it feels like when, and I know it feels like it may not work because I know how that feels too. Right?
Yep.
So that I'm sure y'all have read or heard us talk about the ACE principle, right? Acknowledgement, compassion, and then explore your options. So you always want to acknowledge what they're doing, bring a positive to it first, you know, whenever you can, have some compassion for what their experience is. I know you love doing cartwheels, and it is so much more fun to do spelling words with cartwheels. I know I like to have a good time, too. I totally get it. And I want to make sure we get this done so we have time for other things tonight. Can we work together? And the thing is that it may take a few times to get it, Jessica. It may not happen the first time you have this kind of conversation with her, right?
Yep.
You got to figure out and work it through with her. But when we shift from that, here's how you're going to do it, to you're so good at figuring out what works for you, let's figure out what else works for you. When we help them play on their successes, it's extraordinary how they begin to become participants. And if she can tell you she wants to cartwheel or she wants to lay it out, it's fine for her to sit down at 5 o'clock and say, I want to do your homework. But you know she needs some protein. She needs something for it to go well. Right.
Yeah.
And so you can acknowledge what she is doing and then add to it instead of redirecting it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Does it feel doable? Or are you? Does it feel like, yeah, that's not going to work either?
No, that feels doable.
So what about it feels, what's the aha there? What's the recognition for you that this could work?
I think actually talking about what she's asked to do, whereas I think what I've done is I can see that she needs it. She says she wants to do it, so she does it. But I haven't acknowledged what
mm-hmm.
she's doing, you know.
Yeah.
And I think acknowledging it, so that, to your point, that maybe she can feel empowered by it and
mm-hmm.
have some ownership, then
yep.
maybe she could, you know, stick with it a little bit.
Yeah, and be more open to being redirected back to it. You know,
yeah.
if we know that she's likely to get distracted, right? If we set that expectation out front, we know it, she knows it, we talk about it, then we can manage it without it being her being wrong for it. Because it's reasonable to expect. She's 8, right?
Yeah.
8 going on what in terms of self-management?
Probably 6.
Okay. So it's reasonable a 6-year-old's gonna get lost and have to come with ADD, is gonna get lost and come back and get lost and come back, right?
Yeah.
So if we help her see that's normal and the challenge is to keep coming back instead of why do you keep going away?
Yeah.
We shift the message to her that this is what's normal for you and we're gonna help you learn to manage it better and better. Instead of the subtle message they get, which is, when you don't follow the direction I gave you, that's wrong. We don't mean to be giving that message, but I think we do. A lot. It sort of ties in a little bit to what Sarah was saying earlier. It's like that when we get triggered by their, quote, disrespectful behavior, we're giving them the message that there's the behavior, the judgment, or whatever is there. But the truth is, they're having a hard time being respectful. And when we can expect that they're going to have a hard time with being respectful, staying on task, getting things done in a timely fashion, you know, not talking out or filtering their language. These are all things that are normal to expect our kids to do. So if we set the expectation for them that, yes, this is a challenge for them, and I'm going to help you manage it. And this is one way that we think might help you. And this is where we can go back to activating the brain. Is, you know, I notice when you get enough food, when you've had enough water, when you get up and spin around a few times, that it seems to be easier for you to pay attention. Do you want to try that? Then you're empowering them to self-manage instead of reinforcing that message they get that there's something wrong with them because they can't. So if we go back to the conversation we were having, Jessica, you know, if your takeaway is this issue of, you know, engaging her in the conversation in advance, right?
Yeah.
Having a, you know, we call it metacognition, thinking about what we're thinking about, right? Which is huge for our kids. If you can do that, then what's the action you want to commit to?
I mean, a part of it is, I think, an acceptance of to get her on the right track after school or whenever she's starting her homework. I can't be trying to do something else at the same time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you're committing to giving her your full attention.
Yes.
When you're having this arrangement.
Yep.
That's awesome. Great. And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success with that?
Get organized.
So specifically, what does it mean? Is there something very specific you can do or remind yourself before she comes home? Or what do you need to do to clear the decks for a few minutes?
I truly think it's about, you know, sort of keeping on my own schedule and, you know, prioritizing and knowing that by 3:30, I need to have gotten done those most important things, whether it's online or phone calls or whatever would keep me, you know, sort of partially engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's my question to you. Will you commit at 3:30 to when she's there and needs it, to waiting and coming back to those things later if you need to?
Yes.
So if they're not done by 3:30, obviously you want to try to get it done. But if not, will you come back to it later after you get her going?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you need something to remind yourself of that?
Just her little face.
I like that. Thank you. Anything else for you in this little mini laser coaching?
No, I think that is very helpful.
Awesome. So why not sort of go back to the larger group, because everybody took aim on different things today. And based on the conversation around activating the brain or anything else that came up for you today, because you're always thinking about different things that come up and connections that you make, what do you feel like you were focusing on in this conversation today? I know what we were talking about, but what was coming up for you? What were you paying attention to? And what was your aha? So these are the final four questions that we always want to ask and begin to answer at the end of every call. What were you paying attention to? And what's your aha? What are you taking away from today's call? Maybe it's about activating the brain. Maybe it's about something completely different.
This is Ileana. My takeaway is a reminder of how much time it takes to manage our kids. And it's just sometimes, you know, I shake my head thinking, oh, my God, this is too much. I mean, the requirement of having to do this is too much. Because I tell my daughter one command and she does it. So that's my takeaway.
Yeah, it's just that reminder for yourself. And is there an action that you want to commit to based on that awareness?
I guess being more patient.
And how? What will help you be more patient? How can you be successful with that?
I don't know.
It sounds like your red and green structure is working. Works pretty well for you.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that was unconvincing.
It is. It's just a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
It's too much time to get, like, these, as I hear everybody talk, it's like it takes us so much time to get these kids to do some simple things, and it's tiring.
It is tiring. And what I would encourage you to remember is that what seems simple to us is not simple to them, right? And that's where sort of tuning into that compassion piece. It's one thing to acknowledge, I get that this is hard for you. It's another to have compassion for. It's really, I get what it feels like when something that everybody thinks should be simple is hard. Right? I know what it feels like to not be able to get myself, you know, whatever it is for you. Because we all have challenges, right? And if you can find that place of compassion for how hard it is for him or for her, that is, it's a great access point for patients.
Yeah.
You know. Who else? What are some other takeaways from today, or what commitments do you want to make to action, and what will help you be successful with it?
This is Valerie. Mine's kind of along the same lines. Yeah, I know what needs to be done to help activate their brain. It
mm-hmm.
just takes time. And
yeah.
so it's being more diligent and more proactive and more focused on them when they walk through the door in the evening. I just wanted to make one other comment to something we do, because they need that protein before they do homework as well. We actually feed the boys dinner, supper, when they get home from school. And then when, or if my husband is home, we have them sit back down when we eat dinner and have a yogurt or a snack of some sort. But we get their protein in them kind of in between their meds, so that they do eat a really good, because between breakfast and that afternoon snack is really the only two meals that they eat.
Yeah.
So
that's a great strategy.
That's something, yeah. Something we've done to make that easier.
Yeah. And then the other thing I hear from you is a real commitment to sort of making sure that you're focused on them when it's their turn to get your attention.
Yep, that's right.
As hard as that can be.
Trying to get one more job done, because I work from my home when I'm home. So it's so easy for me to go back to my office and sit down and try to get one more email sent instead of focusing on them and getting them going.
Right. Yeah, I call it one more thing-itis.
Yeah.
And I get it. I suffer from it greatly. Who else? What other takeaways are you pulling from today's conversation?
I'll chime in. I like the dropper full idea of knowledge, because I do try to explain stuff, and I think it turns into blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah, the parent who said that on a call said, I tend to vomit all over them. I was sort of holding that back. But it's true. We do. We want to make sure they get the lesson. And they get it a lot better when we give it to them in little, tiny little pieces.
Yep.
Cool. So does that lead you to any action for today?
I think I just need to keep that in mind just constantly.
Okay. And how does any of this tie in for you, David, with the chores and holding him more accountable to doing his chores?
Well, I'm not sure how this really ties in, but I think anchoring things to other things that are already a habit has worked in the past for him. So
mm-hmm.
try to.
Is there a particular time of day that you're expecting him to feed the animals?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea. We have like a morning routine that he's pretty much habituated into, so I'm going to try to bolt this into that.
Okay. Well, and what I would offer is to pay attention to, are you asking him to do executive function challenges at a time where his brain hasn't clicked in, or his meds haven't clicked in, or whatever it is for him? You know, and if that works and he's up and he's doing his, and he's got this routine going, it's great. And if not, look to whether there's a way to engage the brain a little bit.
Okay.
Before
right.
you ask
yeah, that's
to do executive function stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. Good point.
Yep. Who else? What about you, Sarah?
You know, there's a lot swirling in my mind, but I mean, a couple
What's
things.
What's your takeaway?
My takeaway is having patience for their process. So I think a couple people on the call and you have talked about, you know, it's not the first time you might see a change in the behavior or a change in their reaction. So trying to remember that, to not be discouraged if, you know, the change or action that you're taking is different, you kind of have to wait for that to circle around. So I'm kind of taking away that I just need to be more patient and trusting and their ability to change as well as my ability to change.
Yeah. Well, and give it the time, right? I mean, change takes time, right? It's not going to be immediate. All the changes that aren't going to happen right away. You know, you got to pace yourself for the long haul here. Right?
Yeah.
Is there a commitment you want to, an action you want to take based on this, or anything to help you hold yourself accountable to that patience you want to focus on?
You know, I still feel like I'm still working through just trying to not react. So I'm
mm-hmm.
going to commit to continuing to try to not react, because I do feel like we're having some success there.
Great.
So I just want to keep trying that, and then I definitely will. You know, it is easy to lose focus on the snacks, and especially this past week, he definitely has been grabbing for the goldfish, and so
mm-hmm.
I just need to make sure that I have something at the ready when he's walking at
yeah.
the door that's healthy. So
great. Well, and the other thing I will point you to is there's a bunch of articles on the site. Diane has written a ton on calming down, staying calm, not reacting. I mean, this is her big issue. So she's written a lot about it. So you can sort of search that on the site. And there's a couple of webinars, if you go into the webinar section on the members page, that we've done on sort of stress and stress cycle and staying calm and that kind of thing. And we teach you'll get it at some point in PSS because I know you're just starting, but we teach a four-step process to what we call escape the stress cycle. And all of that is about calming down. So you can go sort of search the website. You can type in stress or calm down or any of those things, and you'll find some of these articles. And
right.
I just encourage you to take a few minutes to read a little bit of some strategies to support you in doing this.
Great. That's helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah. And Jessica, just sort of wrapping back to you, because I know that we coached on a different topic than what you were taking aim on. So anything come up for you in terms of that place where you were looking at sort of connecting with her when she's struggling and tuning out?
I think it just about the, you know, to what someone else had said, you know, about sometimes it just feels overwhelming, like it takes so much time, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I think what I'm taking away is if I can focus and truly engage, I think it would actually take less time. I think I've been half in, half out, and I think if I can go all in at those critical moments, that it will actually take less time and maybe even less effort. And certainly
Great.
Less frustration, I think.
Yeah. Well, and at the very least, you get that connection. You know?
Yeah.
They know that they've got your full attention for a little while, and that's a great gift. So thank you. So anybody got anything else you want to share or ask or opine on before we close for today? Okay, I just want to acknowledge everybody and thank you for your active participation, for being here, for being part of this process, for having these conversations. It is truly, it is a gift to your kids. It's a gift to your family. I think it's a gift to yourself. And I just want to acknowledge you for making the effort to be here and be present and to struggle with these issues, because it's hard. You know, and it's as hard as it is for us to raise these complex kids, that is as hard as it is for them to do all these things that are asked of them. So when you struggle, when you get frustrated, let that compassion guide you in connecting to them. And for today, that is all. Thank you all for being here, and we will talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.